the myth, the legend, old-time friend of the Gagley Archives, long time now, Trey Gunn, how are you tonight?
I'm good. It has been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. Last time we talked, I think it was just on the cusp of you jetting from King Crimson and you know, dedicating yourself to the solo material and also the work you've done here on this excellent disc called Quodia, The Arrow. I'll tell you, man, it's good stuff, dude.
Yeah, it's ambitious is the word that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I mean, what you and Joe Mendelson have done, for those that don't know, Joe Mendelson of Rise Robots Rise, and yourself, I mean, you guys have done this excellent multimedia show. I mean, it's not just, you know, it's not just a performance. I mean, there's a lot of different mediums here. Tell our audience.
Well, it's, I mean, we can dance around it. I can talk about it for hours, which right. I won't do. But it's something that's kind of, I've been dancing around for a while, you know, being many times an instrumental musician, and of course playing with King Crimson, one of the seminal instrumental bands, even though we always had great singers. Doing instrumental music is a totally different thing than using music as a frame to tell other stories, whether in the Quodia example it's actual stories, or weaving music into film or any other kinds of medium. It's a totally different kind of functioning of music, and I think I'm pretty good at it. I've kind of been dancing around it for a while, and so when Joe and I launched into this, it just blossomed for us.
It's like a movie for your ears.
Yeah, I mean, what we've tried to make is as an immerse. I mean, the DVD CD is kind of a downgrade is not the right word, but it's kind of a downfolding of the live experience in the different mediums. There's audio version and there's a video version, not a video of us performing. Because I found when you filmed us performing, the performance itself was distracting from the piece.
Right.
In other words, if you see me playing, what I'm doing on my tapped instrument is so captivating, it pretty much blows the story away.
Right, exactly.
Even for me. So, you know, we decided not to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
So what we tried to do, originally the project was simply a live show, and we threw out the idea even thinking of it as a band, which was very liberating for us, because we have actors in the video and audio who speak along with us while we're playing. We accompany them, and I narrate as well. The first thing we wanted to do was make a show that was just as completely immersive in terms of all your sensory data input factors that we could.
Right.
And we have done that, except for probably smell. But there's visuals. There's and for people who haven't seen it, obviously, it's you don't know what it is until you see it, because we've used the visuals in kind of a particular kind of way. I think of it as more of an animated children's book style,
right,
where it's very anti television, modern media kind of editing. Things move very, very slowly, and things merge and shift while the music's doing its rich thing. Maybe the visuals will slow down. We don't do a lot of hard, fast editing. There's not a lot of the information comes by kind of seeping into you.
Yeah, it's almost.
So we were trying to make a really as immersive a show as possible, which led us into trying to start doing performances in planetariums, because it's a completely immersive atmosphere.
Right. But it's like a storybook, but for adults. It's like a,
yeah, there's definitely adult themes, and I've found, you know, because Joe and I have been working with this for several years now, I have a detachment to the stories that obviously people don't, and when people come to the show afterwards, I'm often surprised. I'm taken back by they're like, wow, some of that was so dark.
Yeah,
I guess you're right. Some of it is dark.
Yeah, but I mean, it does have, you know, there are contrasts. I mean, there are bright moments on it, and then, like you said, there are these, you know, very very dark, very eerie moments on the disc, and especially with your narrative voice. No offense, Trey, but
it does. I mean, I thought, you know, when we took this on, I wanted to. We began with the beginning piece, which is kind of very bright, and then I kind of wanted some real You know, in our culture, generally, when you touch upon dark themes, they're not really that dark. They're just kind of, they don't have real darkness in them. So I kind of wanted to grab some themes that had real kind of primal, not fear is the right word, but just darkness. So we have this old storyteller who tells a story about this woman being attacked by something in the woods. And anyway.
Yeah, but you're using a lot of gear, too. You're using, like, laptops, you know, keyboards, obviously, electronic percussion.
Well, actually, not to contradict you, Tom, we don't use a lot of gear.
Okay.
One of the aims of our project was, you know, we've been in bands forever, and it's so expensive to go to faraway places and play, especially if you've got a drummer, and you've got amps, and you've got all this stuff, and it's actually prohibitive, and it's kept me from going to places I would want to go, even King Crimson has had to turn down gigs because it's just, obviously Crimson has a lot more gear, but generally rock bands have more gear. It's like a lead weight around their neck as opposed to actually something that gives you turn advantage. So Joe and I said, you know what, screw this whole band thing where you carry gear all around the planet and you can't go anywhere and you end up spending all your money in cartage. Let's do it just the two of us. Only what we can take on the airplane with us, and we want to go be able to go anywhere in the world and do our show. So we've got it down to 6 suitcases. We even have our own portable screen. We can go into Siberia, which we've been offered to, but we haven't gotten there yet. We can go to South America. We can go anywhere. And essentially, our gear is actually quite small.
Wow.
And it's pretty much the only way.
It's the only way to do it, yeah.
It's the only practical way nowadays, but it's the only way to birth something really new.
Yeah.
So with between like 5 and 7 suitcases, a little bit of excess baggage, we run laptops. I run video live. Joe mixes us live. We don't need a sound man.
Right.
We just send 2 channels, stereo, left and right to the house. Don't touch the sound, Mr. Soundman out there.
Right.
We bring our own video projectors. We have a backup projector. You know, all of the technology is very, very small. So that's certainly been a huge part of our what was even able to give birth to this kind of a thing.
Well, I'll tell you this. It must be great. I mean, you've had shows recently in Seattle, obviously, Portland, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And then there was this special one at the Central Artist House in Moscow. Am I saying that right? Was that the name of the place?
Yeah. We played in Moscow. We played in St. Petersburg. I mean, we got to go some really cool places down in southern Chile and Argentina.
Right.
Our last really wild gig was at Norway at the Festival of Lights on January 23rd of this year, which was the celebration of when the sun comes back after being gone. It's like the first moment that you can see the sun, maybe. We didn't see the sun. But it wasn't just in Norway. I mean, when I looked at the map, this little town Tromso is way up on the north. It actually was the last spot where the guys who first made it to the North Pole left from. It's an oil town with a lot of culture.
Wow.
And it's, you know, I went on Google Earth to look at it, and I'm zooming in. I was like, there's nothing up there. It's just little islands. And then suddenly I zoom in on one little island, and there's a town.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. And we got to go. Joe and I like to have a little bit of life when we go on the road. So we have an extra day in Moscow or St. Petersburg or Santiago, Chile. And for this, our extra day in Norway, we went dog sledding out in the woods and almost got to see the sun, but we didn't.
What? I bet your camera was pretty full.
Yeah. I mean, the dogs are great. There were 200 of them.
Yeah.
And you could see, you know, the sky was quite bright. It was as bright as it is here in the winter, but the sun just didn't come up.
Yeah, I got this little obsession right now with these ice truckers that they drive, you know, from in the North Territories in Canada, and they, you know, and just to think that there are towns in those places where the sun may only be, you know, out for not even an hour if it's out. And, you know, these guys, I don't know, man. It must have been wild to be up in Norway and seeing all that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because there's so much water.
Water everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, actually, there's no mainland. It's just islands for, like, hundreds of miles from the mainland.
Yeah. What are the you know, you toured throughout the world, but what are the post shows like? What are the audience? What are they saying to you? Like, you know, what's the big...
What are the parties like afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, it's really, really fascinating for us because we're doing something new, and we're using multiple languages. We're using the language of music. We're using spoken language. With my voice and with other actors in the voice, we have this very fantastic singer, Regina Spektor, and Genos from the guy who does the old man story. He's a Serbian gypsy who's got a group out here called Culture Shock.
Right, okay, okay.
And so we have these different speaking voices. Then we use text on the screen, which is a very strikingly strange experience to be watching music, listening to a story, and then suddenly your brain engages in a funny way because you see a word on the screen. We're using sound design. Eventually, we're going to surround sound, completely surround sound.
Right.
So you have people responding to all these different languages, and one of the reasons we use the different languages is to give everybody their own kind of doorway into the piece, because it's a very unusual piece. So we kind of wanted to make as many doorways as possible. If you were a hardcore music fan, or if you were interested in the story, or if you were interested in animation or film, they'd be all these ways in. So that way we kind of get all these different responses depending on what kind of personality types. But because our first 2 years of gigging was completely in non-English speaking countries, we had this fascinating language issue with, can they understand the English? What are they getting? What are they not getting? What are they worried about not getting? That's the biggest thing, because the stories are very...
It's elaborate.
They're not completely oblique, but they're very much like dreams.
Right.
And if it's your common language, if you're hearing these stories and you're an English speaker, you know the English language well enough to know that if there's something odd going on here, it's not with you, it's with the story. But if you're Italian, you don't know that. So we've constantly been making ways to help people find their way into the story. And one of the things that we did was we had this rather elaborate story, what the Water Woman story that Regina tells. We had her do a Russian version when we went to Russia.
Right.
And then I have a friend here who did a Spanish version for when we go to the Spanish-speaking countries. So in the middle of our show, the language switches to the local language. And I know I'm making a long story out of this.
No, this is good. This is...
The thing that was fascinating for us was cultures are so different in relationship to their own language and in relationship to certainly the English language, us being... certainly, we have our history of imperialism throughout the world, and everyone, many, many cultures in the world have kind of left their culture behind to kind of adopt what they think is our culture. So you have all this crazy baggage.